Some people come to church on Christmas Eve. Well, everybody comes to church on Christmas Eve for a lot of different reasons, right? Some of you came really gladly, excited to hear the Christmas story once again. Some of you came begrudgingly. Some of you, I imagine, were a bit miffed that you had to miss a Christmas story once again. But don't worry, some channel will have it on nonstop repeat. And you can watch Ralphie not shoot his eye out for the 12,820th time. That's actually how many days ago that film was released. We're Christians, so we have a God, but I'm tech savvy, so I have a Google. Some of you came because you feel trapped in a dark spot in your life, and you hope that this festival might give you a glimmer of hope. And some of you came just because somebody you know is in the pageant. But let me be clear as I can be. Whoever you are, whatever your background, no matter the reason that you are here, I am thankful that we get to share this time together. And I really mean that. And especially for visitors who might be wondering, does he mean that? I don't mean it in some, I'm glad you're here because maybe you'll become a church member and then you can fill that committee vacancy and balance our budget kind of way. That's not the way I mean. I'm actually glad that you are here. Even more than that, I'm glad that you're alive. Even if we have never met, even if we never will really meet one another, I am supremely grateful that you are here tonight. Because it gives me the chance to say something to you that I think you really need to hear. It's something that I really need to hear too. You are a beloved child of God, beautiful to behold. You are a beloved child of God. You know, we live in an age of dehumanizing and disparaging messages. Many of you, I imagine, have been on the receiving end of such rancor. And it hurts. It hurts when we hear things that devalue us, that don't recognize our dignity. It hurts, and those scars take time to heal. But if the message of Christmas teaches us anything worth remembering, it's that the God of all creation was willing to go to any lengths to let us know just how valued and loved we are. Now, I think a finely scripted scroll might have done the trick, but it certainly wouldn't have packed the punch as God becoming human. And not just human, but a baby, a vulnerable, fragile baby, born to two parents who, like any new parents, didn't have a clue what they were doing. Now, I need to confess something. When I was up here and facing the altar at the beginning, and I bent down at Jesus' name during the Gloria, and I peered into the face of that baby doll, it made me question my religion. It was very peaceful. I can't imagine he was that peaceful. You know, they didn't have a clue. But that humility, that trust, that risk, God took a risk, maybe the biggest risk in history, to prove to us God's love. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. That was the message of the angels to the shepherds, and it's a message for us too. God came into this world as a vulnerable little child, arms bound up in swaddling cloths, proof of just how vulnerable and powerful, powerless he was. Could there be a greater sign of God's boundless love for us than this? But going back to that phrase that I wanted you to hear, that I need to hear too. You are beautiful to behold. Look, it feels good to know that we are loved, but sometimes even that isn't enough. Sometimes we need more than just a general sense of being loved. We need someone to affirm us. To affirm us in our uniqueness. To look at who we are and the depths of our being and say, you are beautiful and good. In this story, the Christmas story that we all know so well, I'm drawn back to the shepherds. You know, in those days, shepherds were socially marginalized people. They served a purpose, for sure, but only a utilitarian one. They lived on the fringes of society. They spent time in the mud and the filth of the animals, and the vast majority of first century persons had no interest in spending time with them. But as St. Luke told the story, they were the first to hear the proclamation of Jesus' birth just after it happened. The angels didn't first go to kings or to princes or to the priests of the temple. They went to the margins of the world, to the fringes of society, and proclaimed this event to the shepherds. Right at the beginning of this story, the story that gives definition to the entire Christian religion, right at the beginning, it tells us that everybody is included in this great, grand, wonderful story. Everybody. Those who were once on the margins are found to be near and dear to the heart of God, despite how the world treats the marginalized. And this comes to bear upon us, upon our churches. I shouldn't speak for all of them. Upon this church, because we should aspire to be a place where there are no outcasts, where all are dear to the heart of God, and they know this. Where those on the margins find their place here, where everybody knows at the depths of their being, you are beautiful to behold. Like I said, some of you are here because you were dragged here. Some of you are here because you want to be. But we're all here together, hearing this incredible story of love. A story that, if we allow it to, speaks volumes to us about the love of God that affirms the dignity and worth of every human being. And I bet some of you are sitting there thinking, he can't really mean that. History shows us that churches are often the worst offenders when it comes to exclusion. I wouldn't blame you for thinking that. I've thought it myself, and if I'm being really honest, I still think it sometimes. The church doesn't have the best history of how it treats people who are different than the majority. But what I know about this parish is that we are trying to live beyond not only the physical walls of this building, but the walls of prejudice and exclusion that are all too common these days. So, I offer you this, a statement outlining just who is welcome here. It hangs on a poster in the hallway. You can find it on our website. Full disclosure, I stole it from a cathedral in England. Well, I didn't steal it. They had something really good there, and I think I made it better. So, but anyway, it speaks to who is welcome here. So, we extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, widowed, gay, confused, filthy rich, comfortable, or dirt poor. We extend a special welcome to wailing babies and excited toddlers. We welcome you whether you can sing like Pavarotti or just growl quietly to yourself. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woken up, or just got out of prison. We don't care if you're more Christian than a bishop or haven't been to church since Christmas Eve 10 years ago. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome exercise junkies, sports fanatics, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, and junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems, are down in the dumps, or don't like organized religion. Some of us don't like it either. Your priests are included in that. We offer a welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or are here because your loved one is here and wanted to come to church. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, both, or neither. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down their throat as kids, or simply wound up here on a Sunday because you had nothing better to do. We welcome those on a spiritual journey, seekers, doubters, and you. You know, we aren't perfect. We're not a perfect church. There is no perfect church. And sometimes we do stumble and fall along the way towards justice and inclusion. But I'm really proud to be the pastor of a church that is willing to stretch themselves and find ways to more faithfully embody the incarnate love of God in Jesus Christ. And so, if you came here kicking and screaming tonight, or you just came for the fantastic music and the oh-so-cute children, I'm partial to Joseph. Even if you never plan on coming back here, you are welcome here. I don't care who you are or what you've done. I want you to remember that you are a beloved child of God. Beautiful to behold. You are valued. You have dignity. You have a sacred worth. But you don't even need to take my words for it. Take Jesus, who said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." I am actually, honestly, truly so happy that you are here tonight. But enough from me. Let's get on with the good stuff, shall we?